Go ahead and have a seat. I asked just to wait one quick second before. We're going to be broadcasting on Facebook Live, but some of those things, and I know maybe some of you all recorded Wes singing and that sort of thing, some of the things that he shared are pretty private, and he doesn't really want that spread all around on the internet, Facebook. Yeah. I mean, it's a very personal thing, so we just ask that you be gracious about what you do with the videos. And also, what a blessing and privilege it is to have these guys here. My mom and I met for the first time, we were thinking about 12 or 13 years ago, for the first time. She met me almost 67 years ago, but I never met her until 13 years ago. And it's quite a story. So if you've never heard it, maybe sometime it would be a great story to tell, and probably could write a book by this point in time. But my mom's father was a minister in Iowa. And I also have a brother who's a Baptist minister in Indiana right now. So I have four other brothers. Mom had five boys. And that's, so she had her work cut out for her. She's basically a single mom who raised four boys working at the post office, Al. My mom retired from the post office. Yeah. So, okay, well, here we go, Jan. You ready? All right, greetings and God bless you, and welcome to everyone who's dialed in on Facebook Live. This is modern technology, so we go all around the world. But it's the heart of God's Word that we really are wanting to communicate. We've been, like Bob mentioned, so involved in a greater understanding of the power of words, what our words communicate to ourselves, and what words communicate to others. So I've picked some phrases here to see if these particular words may have had an impact on you at any point in time, and maybe you'll be able to identify either the author or the particular document that this these writings came from. Here's the first one. 47 years ago, our fathers, raise your hand if you know this. Okay, Rebecca. That was Abraham Lincoln speaking in what document? Gettysburg Address, right? How powerful those words were on our mind right away. I mean, 47. I mean, people just know it right off the bat. How about these words? It is finished. Jeannie. Jesus Christ said that right before he died. Last words he spoke. Ask not what your country can do for Jeffrey. JFK, a president of our United States. These are powerful words that have been spoken, right? Somehow we've retained these words. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so... Jeffrey. Who wrote that? That was Paul McCartney. I mean, yesterday, all my troubles... We should have Wes sing that. man, I want to hold your hand. I love you. Yeah. I mean, these things were just ingrained in our minds. Now, there might be somebody younger watching. They're like, what the heck is he talking about? But many of you were all in kind of the, and even today, those are popular songs. Okay, here's one Wes mentioned. And I am come that they might have life and that Jeffrey? Right, and what verse is that? Yeah, perfect. Jeffrey's got every answer. Okay, I want somebody else to answer this one. Okay? One small step for man, one Shelley. Neil Armstrong said that when he was doing what? He was getting out of the space capsule, right, Kathy? 1969, she even knows the year. Quite fascinating. Yes.
Just a little note.
A little note.
Well, not really, but before your life is over, a man will walk
Yeah, right.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's amazing. And we've seen so much technology and so many changes. We were talking about this a little bit before fellowship, about some type of the way technology and all these things have evolved so rapidly. Just over the last 10, 20 years. And so the power of words. Doesn't it make sense? These words have had such an impact on our minds and our hearts. I mean, what if you grew up in an environment where somebody said to you, you'll never amount to anything? And if that's reinforced in your mind, guess what? You really begin to believe it. And if someone said, orange juice is poison, and they never drank orange juice, you would be an adult today, maybe thinking orange juice is poison, right? Or someone would tell you that there really is no Santa Claus. But anyway, whatever. A lot of things, you know, that we grow up with and that we learn. But I want to look primarily at a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. Because words are just so dynamically important. They can offend, they can heal, they can encourage, they can strengthen, and they can cause discouragement. They can cause failure, they can cause defeat, they can do a lot of things. But there's a good thing to know and be aware of. We're in control of what we say, okay? Now, when things get heated, sometimes people say a lot of things they don't mean. But they're very difficult to take back once they've already been put forward. Okay? So if you're going to vent, using that word carefully, expressing your frustration and that sort of thing, do it in private, do it with you and God, or do it with a trusted confidant who can still continue to love you and understand your heart and help you work through it. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, there's a verse here that says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." And so what I've chosen as my title for the sharing this morning is, what am I building? What are you building? You know, we all experience hardships from time to time. They may be financial stress, strained relationships, poor health, a job that seems overwhelming, or some types of personal disappointments. And actually, the list that causes these things in these difficult moments, it's endless. But at some point, everyone comes face to face with a moment wherein he or she wonders if they will make it through the event they are experiencing in life. And many of you seated here, if not every person seated here, has been in that position, wondering if there's any hope. Will I ever get through this? I cannot take it any longer. And to be honest, I felt those things at times too. But when we read the letter to the church in Thessalonica, it needs to be understood that Paul is writing by revelation words that were given to him by God to the church at a time when these words were the ones that were needed at that particular time for them to be able to overcome the adversities that they were experiencing at that particular time. And obviously this church really needed to be encouraged and really needed to be strengthened and comforted. And Paul wasn't there personally to do it. So he urged them to do something. He said, do it for one another. He said, let's look at that verse again, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another." Comfort yourselves together. And they were going through a lot of different types of hardships. Financial stress, I mentioned, because they lost their jobs, maybe. Many others were being physically beaten or imprisoned and lived with the understanding that they might eventually lose their lives because of what they were doing in light of their faith. in light of their stand in Jesus Christ. Many of us don't face those same consequences, but we still have the pressures and circumstances of life. But what does Paul mean when he says they were to comfort one another? I'm not going to teach in Greek here because I can't speak Greek. But the word for comfort in Greek is parakaleo. And its primary meaning is to comfort, to encourage, or to speak consoling words, especially in times of difficulty or bereavement. And it could also be used in a militaristic sense of a commanding officer exhorting his troops before going into battle. Knowing that a serious conflict lies ahead of them, the commanding officer speaks words that stir and strengthen the troops before they march off into the fray. Maybe like a coach who's pumping up and encouraging and strengthening his team before they go out on the field or at halftime. Some pretty remarkable speeches have happened during that time to raise the level of expectation and help in strengthening. In the Old Testament, Greek translations called the Septuagint, the word parakaleo was used in a similar way to mean to comfort, to show compassion, to encourage, to support, and to strengthen. In a total, this word, Greek word, is used 109 times in the New Testament, and it encompasses all of the above meanings. So, obviously, this word is being used over and over and over again. There must be something to it. And when Paul told the church at Thessalonica to comfort one another, he also is giving us that instruction too. Because these are the seven church epistles that are written to the church of the body in this administration of grace to which you and I live. Seven church epistles, right? Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Seven church epistles. God is the one who's telling us that we need to give encouragement to those who are around us, to those who need it. Those who are in the middle of a battle especially need strengthening words or supportive presence. Paul urges us to hearten them, to cheer them up, or to give them some kind of boost that will help them make it further along the way. Sometimes that comfort may be speaking words that stir up or impart strength. Like I was saying with the military, Bob and Todd, and others here, Bob. Because what he does is he's strengthening the resolve of the troops. He's refreshing them and encouraging them that they can do it. You can get out there and you're the best. You're awesome. Or also it could be just a silent, strengthening presence like wives do for husbands or close friends give us in our most difficult moments. And thank God for the secretness, I guess, and the supportive nature of wives that they don't reveal all that goes on behind closed doors because it's a unique relationship and we all are unique people. Enough said about that. But we must never forget that often the mere presence of a friend or a companion can bring great comfort to our hearts. There was a statement that said, there are some people who could hear you speak 1,000 words and still not understand you. And there are others who will understand you without even speaking a word. And those are the people that you cherish, those times and those relationships that you have. They don't even have to be talking to you. Just the fact that they're close to you, maybe even in the same room and knowing that they're supportive of you and believe in you. But again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul went on to say, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves and edify one another." Those two big words here, comfort and edify. That's not really a common word in today's English language. We don't speak that really out on the street that much. So what does it mean? Again, the Greek word is oikodomio, which is basically a breakdown of two particular words, oikos and demu, a house and the word for construction. When they are compounded, the new words describe the enlarging of a house, as well as all that is entailed in the building process. To add to a house or building, one must plan ahead, implement ideas, use instruments, make a sizable investment. Basically, this word describes a deliberate decision, as enlarging a house doesn't normally occur accidentally. If you've ever visited different homes and you've seen something that's kind of been added on sort of haphazardly, you recognize it right off, right? Because it looks like that house was built with no plan, no thought in mind, just like, oh my gosh, who put this thing together? So when Paul exhorted us to edify one another in 1 Thessalonians, and thereby God telling us, he was telling us to be very deliberate about how we encourage each other. Our actions and words should encourage and build people up. And that means to add to them, advance them, augment them, enhance them, or improve them in some way. See? We should put great effort into making other people's lives richer, fuller, and better. Accidental edification is appreciated when it does occur, but this is not talking about accidental edification. He was requesting and encouraging us for a well-thought-out plan that occurs with great deliberation. I'd like Jeffrey to put up that first slide. And what this is about five ways to not encourage people. Give unsolicited advice. Anybody ever have that happen? You're trying to describe a situation. You're trying to just share your heart with somebody. And all of a sudden, somebody's telling you what they think, how you should do it. They're asking you 50 questions about this and that. And they're basically telling you their opinion about what they think you should do. You never wanted that. You just want to be told, I love you. I'm supportive of you. But oh no, unsolicited advice. Number two, say you know exactly how they feel. You know what? I know we get into these sort of ways of doing things, but you don't know exactly how they feel. You know how you were feeling when you went through a similar type of situation, but you don't know exactly how they're feeling. Number three, making it all about you. That somehow what they're telling you now instills in you the opportunity to tell them something about your life. And that ends up being the whole thing. That now you're telling them something about, you know, your history, your life, your experiences. It's supposed to be done in an encouraging way, but actually it ends up just all about me. Number four, I thought this was interesting. Talk about the exact amount of anything. Money or weight? And I thought about this one for a while. I think this has to do with, like, if somebody's having financial pressure. And you begin to go into try and question them into how much detail, how much money are we talking about here? How much money do you need? Where did the money go? How come you did this? How come, or weight? Somebody's struggling with maybe some condemnation or guilt or issues about their particular weight. You know what? Probably be a good thing to avoid the topic of weight and encourage them that they are God's best and they can accomplish things. And, well, how much do you weigh? How much are you trying to lose? I mean, it could go anywhere. These are not necessarily things that are encouraging people. That actually is unsolicited advice. Oh, we have been there. Done that, and we have given it too. Because it's a natural tendency to just want to rescue people as somehow we're the authoritative source of solving every other person's problems. No. That's why we have the scriptures, right? Speak the word. Speak the scriptures. Oh, here, verse 5. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Tell them what to do. Tell them what to do. You take their problem, they're pouring out their heart, so you know what you're going to do? You're just going to tell them what to do. Not good. Leaders have learned this over time. If you ever counsel people, which you all have, you know, you start telling people what to do and they go do it and it fails, guess whose fault it is? Your fault. Because you were the one who told them what to do. How about just advising them maybe to go into their prayer closet or their war room and getting quiet and close to God and accessing God for His ability to really work in their situation. It is a slippery slope when you start telling people what to do. So that's what it is not. But you know, there's a great verse in Ephesians chapter 4. Take a quick look at that. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 29, King James says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." That means building, strengthening, encouraging, comforting. This is the direct word of God right to us. "Don't let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister" what? Grace to the hearers. See, corrupt communication, although it could lend itself to that, does not necessarily mean saying curse words. We could translate this in sort of a religious sense to say that that's what this means. But, and that's not really an ideal thing for Christian people to be habitually participating in, okay? Because our language is a reflection of many things, and we want to be reflecting the nature of Christ and the things God is working in our lives. But the New Living Translation says, "Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them." Not something that tears down, not something that causes division. You could say to somebody, oh, they're always having that problem. They've got a history of having that problem. I've worked and worked and worked with them. And I'm not sure they ever... Why even say it? Why even say it? Next slide, please. So I'm going to give you a couple little things here. 20 things to encourage your first friend. Okay, 5 things not to do. Now here's 20 things to do. All right? So, we won't have to go through all of them. How about just saying, "I understand. I understand. Keep going. You can do it. What a wonderful idea. I'd love to pray with you about it. I'd love to pray with you about it." Somebody here is pouring out their heart, and they can't find the answer, or something's going on. They're frustrated. Hey, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. That is awesome. In verse number 9, I thought it was cute. In today's technology, text me. You know, let me know how it's going. Verse number 10, let me know how it goes. I'll be praying. I really appreciate you. Have a fantastic time. You've worked so hard. You deserve it. Way to go. You did great. These are not defeating words. These are words that you're eating like mashed potatoes and gravy and prime rib or whatever. They're strengthening, they're encouraging, they're building, they're moving you forward. I was so impressed with the way you handled that. You are a fabulous example in that area. Number 20, I brought you some chocolate. Always something that will encourage people, right? You bring a box of See's candy anywhere, you are in, right? It's going to bring a smile to somebody's face. Now, it's up to them whether they eat the whole box at one time or not. Yeah. But, you know, we can view this task of edifying people who are feeling overwhelmed or challenged as personal, like a personal construction project, okay? We put so much thought and energy and time into all these things. So here's a question for you. What plan do you have to personally help enhance the lives of those people around you? Because if you don't have a plan, it'll never happen. You may have a glancing thought, I should write a note to somebody, but you know what? 10 minutes from now, 15 minutes from now, you'll never move on that. God was working in you in that particular moment. You know what? You should just write it down. When you get home, take action on it. I should give that person a call. Oh, no, you know, something's happening. It takes a little bit of planning. And then are you sticking with the plan that God gave you, or are you just hoping for accidental encouragement, haphazard encouragement, and growth? And so here's a couple of questions. Has anyone ever comforted you during a difficult time? We're all going, yes. What was it like to experience that? And what did that do for you and your heart? Can you describe a time when someone comforted you with spoken words or by just putting an arm around you, around your shoulder, by tenderly touching your hand, maybe by saying some type of comforting words? Can you think about a time like that? I can. And maybe when someone was there, just gave you strength to make it through another day simply by saying, or just by being there for you. And you just felt like throwing the covers back up over your head. They were there for you. See? What we're doing here in our walk with God is a very practical thing. It's just not church on Sunday. This is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing. If you don't feel encouraged, then you know what I would encourage you to do? Encourage someone else. You know? Get outside of yourself. Quit thinking about you and your problems and what you do and don't have and everything else. Just release that, surrender, and just move with something that God does encourage you to do. And God was really encouraging these guys to be intentional in the way that they helped each other. So, you know what? Be alert. Be alert today. Because God may very well want to enable you in the moment to bring your intentional encouragement and support to someone who needs it today. Why wait? Today is the greatest day to bolster another's strength for the battle and to make their lives richer, fuller, and eternally better through the strategic help of what God has called the Comforter who lives within us. The Comforter shall come. See. In closing, I also have a confession. I have a profession. And then we're going to play a song to kind of wrap things up here. And this is what we say. I declare that my actions and words encourage and build people up. That's what I say. What I say and the way I live will advance, enhance, and improve the lives of others in some way. I put deliberate, well-thought-out effort into making other people's lives richer, fuller, and better. I appreciate when I can accidentally be a blessing, but I purpose to deliberately and consistently be a blessing to every life I have the privilege to reach to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with a song by the Gaithers. It's kind of a cute little song, but I think it's got a beautiful heart in it about building. Okay? All right. God bless.
becomes a home sweet home. A baby learns to walk. It will be a masterpiece, and words can make a rhyme. A boy will turn into a man. Good things just take time. Don't give up, don't give in. That hill was made to climb. With some food and fortitude, you will be just fine. Greatest world that's waiting, go. Just take time. A child can be a wise man, a silly can be a saint, a brick can be a temple, a leaf can be a chain, some notes can be a love song, steel can be a chime, a woman can last forever. Just take time. Don't give up, don't give in. That hill was made to climb. With some food and fortitude, you will be just fine. Greatest world that's waiting, go. Really ain't worth the time. Staying for the long, long haul. Things just take time. Just fine. Just clear as well that's waiting, go. Really ain't worth the time. Staying for the long, long haul. Good things just take time. Good things just take time. Good things just take time.